This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, the Saints had a come-from-behind victory over the Tigers yesterday. We're joined by one of their stars, Liam Stocker.
Gets the ball on quickly to Stocker, who fires at the open goal, and he has kicked it. Beautiful finish here by Stocker.
He's had an excellent quarter, he's had an excellent game. Thomas just got absolutely nailed by Liam Stocker. Ooh. Who said the bump's dead?
There it is. The Saints come from behind and win a close one at Norwood.
Nicely done, and as we welcome you, Liam Stocker, I didn't see the game, but I hear that the boss got a bit wound up.
Yeah, he did. He did a little bit. I think it was probably fair dinkum, though. We probably didn't show the side.
Earned it.
Yeah, we didn't show the side of the system we wanted to show, and we'd spent all week working towards. So I think I don't think it was just Ross either. I think our assistant coaches as well were pretty frustrated with that, and so were we. So. No, he was well within his rights.
Nothing wrong with it, Bill.
No. We all need a kick in the bum now and then, especially you, Rabbits. But Richmond started well. They were good. They were really good early. St Kilda kicked one goal to half time, and that was just before half time, wasn't it?
Yeah. We didn't make the most of our opportunities, which probably hurt momentum wise anyway. But no, to Richmond's credit, I mean, pressure was huge, particularly around the ball and that surge mentality that we know them for over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. They executed really well, and Shai Bolton was on a different planet.
He was early, wasn't he? Unbelievable. Yeah. What about the ground? Norwood, skinny? Is it like Cadinia Park?
I think it's actually 8 metres skinnier than Cadinia Park.
Really?
So for a guy like me who's a contest player, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
But probably for our system, it's, you know, not quite the same as the vast expanses of the MCG. But no, we enjoyed it. I think it's always fun to get back to that community level, and even our captain's run was awesome. Like, the old stand up there in the hill. No, I really enjoyed it.
At the wine festival out the street.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And that was ridiculous too.
Mum and Dad had a blast there.
I would have. No,
did they make it?
Amazing.
Make it into the footy, didn't they? Or just...
Oh, barely. They sort of walked through and got caught up there. Made it for the second quarter.
Maybe. Oh, good.
They're looking at Glenelg, I think, someone told me, next year, potentially. And that's a better, I think that's a better sized ground. It probably hasn't got the same sizzle around it, but... And also the Barossa.
Yes.
So if they have a game up there, Liam, you might never see me again.
No,
do you love it, though? Do the boys all love it? Well, I mean, we were just talking before about how much we love Gather Round, but what about the players?
I really enjoyed it. I haven't been one historically to enjoy away trips and often spent a lot of time alone, but I think Gather Round, or this year anyway, I started approaching my away trips a bit differently, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know. The occasion's awesome, like to have every team in the one city. You know, you see all sorts of different supporters around. And obviously for me being a two club player, it is quite interesting, you know, having people come up to you and stuff like that. So, no, I really enjoyed it. And we stayed in a really nice part of Adelaide and Glenelg as well. So, no, I had a blast.
And then you go to Canberra this week.
Around. We're sort of working on the West Coast schedule at the moment. I think we got 3 away trips in 4 weeks now. So, we're well prepared. We've tested this kind of stuff out in pre-season. So we're ready to go. No excuses.
You know, Stocks was born in West Sydney. I'm reading this. And then you lived in Beijing.
Yeah, it did.
What's the story there?
Well, with Dad's work, Dad was an electrical engineer, got offered a job over in Beijing. So Mum and Dad had to get hitched and then bring me over as well. I don't think at the time you could
You
could not be married and bring
a kid
over.
Quick wedding?
Yeah, well, I was present, so it must have been quick.
Quick.
But yeah, got hitched. We were over there for 4 years, and then we did another 6 or 7 years in Hong Kong, and then moved back here when I was about 11.
Wow. You got any family at all over there?
Nah. It was, it was on a whim. We didn't have much family at all. We sort of had to make our own.
Hong Kong, right? China have taken over Hong Kong. It's not as good, Jim.
Oh, thank you. That's your pricey.
That's my pricey of it.
To be fair, I actually went back in October last year, and it's brilliant. Yeah. So it's coming back to its former glory.
Good, yes.
Tell us about the Saints, because obviously you're at the Blues for a fair slab of your career. Are you enjoying it there?
Yeah, having a blast. I think Ross has been, it's been well publicised how good Ross has been for the club, but... I spent a lot of time with Corey Enright and Jake Batchelor, and I've really enjoyed my time with them. I'll probably come out of myself a little bit more compared to when I was at Carlton as well, which was sort of a necessity of my career if I was going to get anything out of it. So, no, enjoying it a lot.
Great facility. Blokes in the Dragons program, which we'll get to next, but not him, but you. But and they do all their stuff there at RSEA Park. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. Even, you know, the incorporation of the Danny Frawley Centre, that was a big... a big draw card for me, getting over to St Kilda, to a club that takes mental health seriously. Not that Carlton don't, to be fair. But yeah, I really enjoy the facility. It's first class. And I think the other thing is, like we were talking about earlier, like that community feel. We've got, you know, the Brains Trust, which is this group of supporters always at the ground for trainings and stuff like that. It's just got a nice, that nice local footy feel, which is really important.
Were you scared or worried to meet Ross?
I was pretty terrified. I didn't have a contract when I met Ross.
Yes. And how'd the chat go?
It was pretty forthright. His attitude to me as a footballer was that you have a lot of talent, but you haven't done enough to get the best out of yourself. And I think that was a fair assessment. I'd had a lot of trouble with my mental health and just, I don't know, being honest enough with it and not running away from it. But Ross was great with that. And he just said, look, if you've got the appetite, you'll be a good AFL footballer. And if you haven't, then you probably won't get a contract here.
So when you say mental health, is that around anxiety, performing? What was the specific?
Not really. It's more the clinical diagnosis. So I live with anxiety and depression, obsessive compulsive, and a few other bits and pieces that go along with that. But the crux of it is that, you know, I function at a high level of anxiety all the time. So a lot of my day-to-day process is, minimizing that, or, you know, spending time on the moment rather than worrying about things in the future. And that sort of turned my life around. Obviously, it was pretty well publicized when I came home in the COVID hub and everything that went with that. I had to do sort of 8 months of work on myself away from the football club first and slowly reintegrate. Just found it really difficult before then to understand what was going on in my head, and then did a lot of work to get to a point and a place where I am now where, I live with it. There's no cure for it or anything like that, but I live with it and I manage it really well. So it's far less of a factor these days.
You are on the field. You're doing a great job. We're going to take a little break with Liam Stocker. Got some important stuff to discuss next.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And Soss. He doesn't like these nights, Soss. So, but he came up to him. They were auctioning off.
What is this?
They were auctioning off his jumper.
What was that?
Liam Stocker from the Saints has stuck around. By the way, he is here for Zoom Energy Gum. They are the unofficial gum sponsors of the St Kilda Football Club. Just two pieces, JB, of Zoom gives the same energy as a small latte. I might need about eight pieces today. Available now at 7-Eleven.
No. Is that fair dinkum? The Zoom bubble gum or what is it? Sorry.
Yeah, Chewy.
Zoom energy gum.
Yeah, they work really well. I was on board with them before they were on board with St Kilda.
Yeah.
I needed something different to pre-workout. I don't know if you've ever had pre-workout, Bill.
No.
Just run us past. What's a pre-workout?
And what's a workout?
I'll work out, but what's a pre-one?
It's basically just a really high concentration caffeine supplement. So you use it for prior to, you know, gym workouts. Your average gym junkie would use it pretty commonly.
Right.
We obviously have to have HASTA-approved stuff for footballers, but that's sort of the beauty of Zoom. Sometimes pre-workout can give you a pretty crook stomach. So if you're looking to avoid that, then yeah, Zoom's sort of the way to go. So I use it pretty consistently these days.
Now,
any on you?
I think you guys are around here somewhere.
Yeah, we do out the back there.
Oh, right.
And you can grab it at 7-Eleven.
Have you got any on you, Bill Rickards?
I'll have some now. Bring it in, knackers.
Yep, knackers.
Who's he got out there? Here we go. What do you do?
Thanks,
Scoff it.
Now, while Fat's opening that up, Sandy Dragons, which, by the way, is everyone tries to claim they're a football factory.
Well, the
Sandy Dragons provide the AFL with more players than any other team by a mile.
Mm.
When you were playing, which of the Brayshaws were you around? Because they all went through there.
I was Andy's bottom age year. I went through school with Andy we had a host of AFL players my graduating year. But I was a top age with Max, Ben King, Bailey Smith.
Yep.
So we were pretty star-studded my year as well.
Bloody oath. And Halebury,
yep.
You were too. And yep. So LDU was in your year.
Yeah, we had LDU, Charlie Constable, Max and Ben King, Oscar Claverino, who was at the Saints for a while, Cody Waitman. So we had a...
So you wear jocks when he plays?
That's a decent team. I don't think he had any trouble winning.
He does now?
Yeah.
Was Matty Lloyd the coach then? I'm all on board.
He's up.
I think...
The Zoom, Jim.
Lloydie was the assistant coach my year. He took over the next year, yeah. But I think they went for a four-peat or a three-peat after that.
Yeah. Mm. Very serious about it, his coaching.
Of course he is. Mm. Are you winning with that team, by the way?
Oh.
No other mobs, don't you?
We were undefeated, yeah.
So what else, Liam Stocker, beside of being a very good footballer and playing very nice football for the Saints?
Podcasting.
What else is in your life? Podcasting?
Yeah, yeah. I've got plenty outside of footy. That was sort of a big part of coming back. If I was going to do it right, I wanted to enjoy my footy and I wanted it to be the, you know, the really fun aspect of day-to-day living. So I run a podcast with two of my now really close mates called The Men of Words. So I guess the premise is we want to get people who are elite in their field to talk about their perspective on mental health or men's health or women's health, sort of whichever, I don't know, whichever they've got the most experience in really. So we've had some really, really good guests on lately, like Dan Gorringe, obviously talking about his career, but also his, you know, his social media personality and what he looks to keep himself well. I think that's sort of, we're identifying a niche in the market at the moment where we're talking a lot about awareness. And I think everyone's pretty aware of mental health these days and how it does affect particularly the younger generation.
Yes.
But I guess our focus area now is, right, well, everyone's aware that's a problem. Let's put some meaningful tips out there to help people deal with those kind of things. Yeah. And sort of provide people a pathway to look for meaningful help rather than, you know, oh, I'm aware this is a problem now, but I don't know what to do. And I guess at the moment we're really struggling for psychologist availability. A lot of places are at a 12-week waiting time, which is sometimes too long. And I think at the moment we're at, you know, 9 suicides a day. So it's a pretty ridiculous number and it's only going up. So, yeah, trying to make our little difference in that. And then I also work with another company called Outside the Locker Room. So we deliver pretty functional education on mental health to school groups and sporting clubs, particularly local sporting clubs. We like to, you know, factor in sort of the relationship across, you know, many, many years so that we can keep on top of things. And they run really, really smooth programs, in my opinion, anyway. I've worked with a few. I worked with Beyond Blue for a couple of years as well. Really smooth programs that aim at, again, much less the awareness piece and much more about, you know, furthering their education and making people much more resilient but also much more aware of what's actually available today.
That's amazing. Well,
and Gigi?
Gigi, yes.
Yes.
The love of my life.
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah, she's been brilliant. I don't know if many people could have stood up under some of the pressure we were in under COVID.
Yes, exactly.
And I was a shadow of a person then, so she's done a hell of a lot of work with me and, yeah, very, very appreciative to have her in my life.
Well, you're kicking goals now. Fine young man, doing some great work. We love this, don't we?
I think it's amazing, mate, because Fat and I are the same age. I was obviously a cricketer and he was a footballer. I think most of my time playing cricket at first-class level, the fear of failure drove pretty much every action.
Yeah,
and so it followed you around the whole time.
Mm.
Even driving to the ground or driving home from training, you're just terrified of failing.
Yes.
So therefore, it drove you to work hard and try and succeed. But I also look back and think it took a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's
if I wasn't scared of failing, I would have enjoyed playing cricket so much more.
You still got to have fun, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the aspect I lost in my first 4 years, and a big reason of why I wanted to retire after that first 4 years was that this wasn't the caper I thought I was getting into. Yeah. You know, obviously the circumstances around being the first ever live trade swap and stuff didn't help. But I think the regular commentary could have gone one or two ways for me. I could have, you know, as every footballer talks about, you know, like water off a duck's back. It certainly wasn't the case with me, even though I would have publicly said that. And then, yeah, just really struggled to deal with the expectation I had of myself and then the expectation that a lot of people had of me, given how much we gave up to get me. Now I just function on, I guess I'll probably be on 1 to 2 year contracts the rest of my career, and I'm fairly comfortable with that because I'm not really letting anyone down. The only person I'm really letting down if I don't get the most out of myself is me. So, just really comfortable with that, and far more comfortable with being a part of, you know, what's hopefully a premiership regime.
Oh yeah,
bloody
imagine that! Imagine being a premiership player for St Kilda, won one in history.
150 years.
Yeah, blokes left the keys to the city.
You'd be a god. You'd be a god.
Oh, you wouldn't
have doubt about it.
But I think even now, my mentality is right. Well, if I can be part of building the culture that gets us to a premiership, I don't necessarily have to be part of that premiership. Just knowing I went towards building something like that, that's sort of the cause I'd die for now.
Stock, I think you need to be part of it, because I work with the bloke that played in 4 grand finals, lost every single one of them.
Yeah, right.
And you know. He's a shell of a man.
No, I'm not. You bounce back, Liam. You've got to bounce back. But well done on the work you do too.
Yes.
That is because we don't hear enough about it. When they get in trouble, we hear about that, of course, Jim. But when they do good stuff, like where can we find Liam, please, Raps?
It's called the Men of Words podcast. I guess where you get your podcasts, so Apple, Spotify.
Yep.
There you go.
Beautiful. And what about the Zoom?
Well, the Zoom Energy Gum, you can get it at 7-Eleven. It's picked me up, actually.
Mm, it has.
It's firing right up there.
Look at you, bouncing around.
I'm back now. Put it under the chair.
Liam, well done, mate, on everything.
Thank you.
Good luck on the weekend against the Giants.
Thanks for having us.
Liam Stocker from the St Kilda Footy Club on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.